Take your Bible, if you would, for just a few moments now. Find the 9th chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 9 will be our text this morning. I love the book of Nehemiah. I was asking God where he would have us go for this service. I wanted it to be something that would solely focus upon giving him the glory, to direct our attention to his greatness today as we celebrate what he has done in our church. There are some wonderful celebrations in the Bible. Most of them deal with the nation of Israel as they celebrate God's goodness to them. Some are in the New Testament when it comes to the church as they celebrate the moments that they had back then. The great celebration for the church will take place when we see Jesus and when we are with him forever. And oh, what a day that will be as we sing the song of the redeemed and we lay down our crowns at his feet and we worship and we glorify him. I hope you're not of the opinion that heaven's going to be boring. I promise you heaven won't be boring. It'll be a wonderful and tremendous time as we are with the Lord. But I found and was led by the Lord to Nehemiah chapter 9. I'll confess to you right at the beginning that I have preached out of this chapter probably numerous times. I wish you could see inside my Bible. You will see that I've got everything underlined and circled and amens and joy as I just enjoy the truth of what is going on here. I don't know if you understand the book of Nehemiah, but it's all about the nation of Israel returning back to the city of Jerusalem. And God has enabled them through the leadership of Nehemiah to build the walls of this great city. And they were able to once again watch God protect the city and his name. And it was a feat that people said could not be accomplished. It was a feat that the devil tried to destroy. And yet the nation of Israel was faithful and God accomplished this in and through them. Chapter number 6 is when the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month. In 52 days they built the wall. The very next verse says that the enemies of that were so amazed that they even perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Once the wall had been accomplished in chapter number 7, they began to find themselves under the authority of the, they began to analyze themselves in genealogy and they began to have this understanding that they wanted to position themselves in a position of obedience. And you remember the nation of Israel was told not to mix themselves with the nations of the land. They were told not to take unto them wives that believed different and worshiped a different God. And they were told to keep their distance. And they did not do that. And throughout the generations, the lines in the Jewish community had begun to be mixed. And God was not pleased with that. And so they began to organize themselves into a position of obedience. In chapter number 8, the word of God is brought to their ears. The Bible says in verse number 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the 7th month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. They had a long church service. Before the men and the women and those that could understand. Now watch the end of verse number 3. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. The Bible says that Ezra went forward and he stood upon a pulpit of wood. In verses 5, he opened the book. When he opened the book, all the people stood up. In verse number 6, he blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen and amen. And so when pastor says, and the people said, amen. There's where I get it from. They bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Bible says in verse number 8 that all those people in verse number 7 that I don't know how to mention their name. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly. And they gave the sense and they caused them to understand the reading of the Word of God. Now you got to remember that to these people, they had been in captivity for so long. And there was no availability of the reading of the Word of God. Thank you. If you love the Word of God, say amen. They love to hear the reading of the Word of God. And so now that they've accomplished the work and they're seeing the greatness that God has done, they're called into the street. And the preacher stands up and he begins to read the Bible to them. And if you look at verse number 9, the Bible says in Nehemiah, which is the Tirzah, or the governor, and Ezra, the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They were so broken by not only their transgression of the law, but of the goodness of God. Nehemiah understood that these people were, it was having an effect upon them that he didn't want to have. So in verse number 10, he told them to go their way and eat the fat and drink the sweet. That's why we're having barbecue today, by the way. Just so you know, everything about today is biblical. Okay. Pastor, I don't eat the fat. They did. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. That's sweet tea. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Now read the verse with me, please. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. They were so overcome by the greatness of God in that word. And they began to see themselves. And they understand that for the past generations, how disobedient they had been. And the conviction of God was just ripping their heart out. And so Nehemiah had to explain to them that getting right with God is a joyous thing. And Nehemiah had to say, listen, God's not trying to grind you into the ground. God is trying to bless you and lift you and encourage you and instruct you and teach you in the way. The Bible says in verse number 17 of that chapter, once they understood that, if you look at the very last line of verse number 17, and there was very great, what class? Gladness. Man, they were enjoying, and a gladness was developing in the nation. Now you can sense in our service today a glad spirit. You can sense in our spirit, in our service today, it's a joy to be together. The 8:30 service, the 11 o'clock service. You can understand the theme of burning the mortgage and celebrating God's goodness and all that is doing. There's just a unique spirit in the place that God has given. Such be the case for the nation of Israel. And the spirit is developing. Now the leadership of the nation understands what is going on. And so if this brings me to the 9th chapter of the book, and it opens up and tells you about how that they stood and they confessed their sins, verse number 2, and the iniquities of their father. Verse 3 says, they stood up in their place and they read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, man, that's 6 hours. Another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites and all of those folks, and they cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites and those men mentioned there said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. Then once they've got the congregation to their feet, now they begin to lead the congregation in a worshipful remembrance of how great God is. And so they began by the declaration that there is no God but Jehovah. If you believe that, say amen. Said, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven. I sang so hard in those two songs that I sound like Hillary Clinton. I'm sorry about that. I got a picture of her coughing in my mind that the Spirit of God did not put there, but it got in there somehow. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Thou preservest them, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Now in verse number 7, all the way down to verse number 25, they begin to outline the history of the nation. And I went through and I dissected these verses into four things that the nation of Israel was led to give God glory and praise for. And I want to lead us to give God glory and praise this morning. The very first thing that they were leading God in praise for after they had praised him as the great creator was for his salvation. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him a name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. Now watch this. And did see the affliction of our fathers, where, class? In Egypt. And heardst their cry by the Red Sea. And showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them so that they went through in the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. Thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gave them right judgments and true laws and good statutes and commandments and made known unto them by thy holy Sabbath and commandments and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for their thirst out of the rock, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land wherein thou hadst sworn to give them. Now listen, you got to set the stage. You've got men that are involved with spiritual leadership. You've got a nation that has come out of captivity because they were so disobedient before God. And not the disobedience didn't just reside in their generation. It went all the way back to their fathers. But now God has kept his promise. And by the way, God keeps all of his promises. And God had those prophets tell the nation, now you're going to go and Assyria is going to ravage you and Babylon is going to just destroy you. But I'm going to leave a little remnant there. And I promise you, that there will be a day that I will bring that remnant out of that captivity and I will put you back in your land. And so as that has happened and God has brought them back into the land, the preachers understand something. They understand that God has been way better to them than they had ever been to God. And I got news for you. God has been way better to you than you will ever be to God. And so the nation now is, the leaders are leading the nation to a point where I'm driving at in just a few minutes. And they begin by saying, he is the great creator of all. And we want to remind you that it was God in his grace that chose Abraham. It was God in his grace that promised Abraham that I will make you the father of a nation and through thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, speaking of the Lord Jesus. Now you understand that as Abraham passed off of the scene, and you understand how the nation of Israel ends up down in Egypt, and you understand how Joseph is there, and there's a famine in the land, and Israel moves as a nation into the land of Egypt. And as long as Pharaoh is alive, everything is going great. But when Pharaoh dies, or when Joseph dies, then Pharaoh begins to afflict the people. The Bible says that the people were under such a heavy affliction that they cried out to God. And the leadership is reminding the nation that it was God that heard those cries. It was God that saw the affliction of our people. It was God that came down and multiplied those 10 plagues in front of Pharaoh. And it was God that brought us out of Egypt. He said, when we got out of Egypt and we ran into that sea and we had nowhere to go, and Pharaoh's breathing down our neck and there's death in front of us, there's cliffs all the way around, there's destruction behind us, and we cried out to our God. It was our God that split that sea. And he said, we walked across that sea on dry ground. And he said, don't you remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh, who was breathing down our neck, man, with his army and with his iron chariots. He said he got into that sea. And it was like God took a little stone and flipped it into the water. Pharaoh was no problem for God. And the leadership says, and the waters came in and they drowned Pharaoh and his army in the sea, and we were safe on the other side. He said, then the leadership now says, remember when we got over there and we were in the land of Canaan for a long time, or we were in the wilderness for a long time, but when we went into the land of Canaan, that promised land that God brought, cared for us, even in Canaan or in the desert, God brought water and food and God nourished us. And the leadership wants the people to understand, had it not been for God's grace, we wouldn't be here. So as your preacher today, I want you to understand something. Had it not been for God's grace, we wouldn't be here. Do you understand that the nation of Israel being pulled out of Egypt is a picture of you and I being redeemed? They were suffering in the affliction of the Egyptians. I was suffering in the affliction of my sin. Do you understand that it took the shedding of the blood to get the nation of Israel to be let out of Egypt? It took the shedding of Christ's blood for my affliction and my sin to be covered. Do you understand that not only did God just save me from my sin, but he saved me unto himself? And since the day that I have been saved, God has met my need. We serve a mighty God. And we want to give him glory today. God, sir, I know you're listening to our service. And you're in our midst. And we lift our hands. And we say thank you for your great salvation. And we give you glory. He goes on in verses 16 to 21. Verse 16 begins with the word but. But they, our fathers, dealt proudly. They hardened their necks. They hearkened not to thy commandments. They refused to obey you, God. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but they hardened their necks in their rebellion. They appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Why would they ever want to go back? Verse 17. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Not only are they leading the nation to praise him for his salvation, but for his faithfulness. If you were to read all the way down to verse number 21, you will find that our God is a forgiving God. Our God is a patient God. Our God is a God of kindness. Our God is a God of mercy. And even though they should have, God had every right to turn his back on them and their sinfulness, God remained faithful to them. Read, if you would, verse 21. It says, yea, 40 years, 40 years, thou sustained them in the wilderness. Now, I got news for you. In the wilderness, they were rebellious, stiff-necked, and hard-hearted people. In the wilderness, they went a whoring after God. In the wilderness, they denied God. In the wilderness, they murmured and they complained. In the wilderness, they worshiped that golden calf. When Moses came down, there was such immorality and wickedness happening in the name of worship that Joshua said, it sounds like war there. And Moses said, it's not war. It's wickedness. The Bible says that God was going to destroy the nation. And Moses got in his face. And Moses said, oh God, you gave your word and you're a forgiving God. And God repented that day. The Bible says that those men that were involved in that wickedness, that they suffered. And they had to do those things later on when men would come out with wickedness. The ground would come up and swallow them up. God had every right to turn his back on them, but God had given his word. And my friends, God will not break his word. So what? How does that affect us? In 54 years, our church has not been perfect. In 54 years, I'm sure we've been unfaithful in some measure. But I can stand here today and as your pastor, and I can say that God has sustained us. He has remained with us. And he will never forsake us and he will never leave us. And so God, we praise you today. God, I'm sure there's somebody in our church in this room. They probably think that you've forsaken them. I want you just to impress upon their heart that you love them. You're merciful. You're patient. You're kind. And you are a God who stands ready to pardon. Are you not grateful for the forgiving God that we serve? Verses 22 to 25, and I must hurry. Talks about the blessings that God bestowed upon them. Thou gavest them kingdoms, nations did divide them in the corners. They possessed the land. Verse 23 said their children multiplied. Verse number 24 talks about them being able to subdue the inhabitants of the land. And that God gave them a wonderful victory. And the leadership is reminding the nation that God has blessed them. And I would like to remind our church today that God has blessed us. I want our church to understand that nothing around here is because of any one individual apart from the Lord of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. I would also like to remind you that not only has God blessed us corporately, but God has blessed you individually. Now listen to me. Corporately, we make up the body of Christ at Plantation Baptist Church. But individually, you're a child of the living God. And yes, God has blessed our church, but everything you have is because God has blessed you. God gave them kingdoms. He gave them nations. He gave them dominion. He gave them victory. He gave them gold. He gave them silver. He gave them food. He gave them children. He gave them sustenance. Everything they had. And they had just come out of Babylon where they had lost everything they had. And the nation is reminding them that that's what you wanted. The leaders are telling them, when you turned your back on God and you went after the world, you thought the world could sustain you. You thought the world was going to give you everything you want. Well, you got over there and they ravaged and they pilfered you and they destroyed you. It was our God that was good to us. It was our God that's blessed us. Verse 26 to 31, they thank him for the love that he has. You read that. And that talks about his disciplined hand against them, but they saw God's chastening hand against them as an act of love. So the leadership leads the nation to bless, stand up and bless the Lord for his great salvation, for his faithfulness, for his blessings, and for his love. Now, if you would please, would you go to verse number 26, and I'll close the message. Nevertheless, they were disobedient. They rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. They wrought great provocations. Therefore, thou deliveredst them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardst them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gave them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. And yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardst them from heaven. And many times did thou deliverest them according to thy mercies. Oh, my friend, I'm so grateful for God's patience in our lives. And you come down to verse number 31. Verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them. for thou art a gracious and merciful God. All right. So the leadership has got them to the point now where they realize that God is merciful and God is gracious. Now here's the final act. Verse 32. Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, and on our fathers, and all thy people since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, and we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, and our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto the commandments and testimonies wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. This is a sad verse. Behold, we are servants this day for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof. Behold, we're servants in it. Yea, it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle. At their pleasure, we are in. What are those two words, classes? Okay, just let me set the stage. So now they understand. Now they understand that the plan that God had for them, they surrendered. Now they understand that God had given them the land of Canaan and all the blessing in it, and it was rightfully theirs by God. But because of their sin, God took the kings of these other nations and punished them. And now they understood that the kings of these other nations have sucked to themselves all that God had for the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel puts their hands on their head and they think, what have we done? What have we done? Yeah, our God is great. But because of our sin, we're not experiencing the blessing of his greatness. And these people are eating what should be ours. We should be the ones being leaders, but we're servants in our land. Now the leadership has recognized this, preaching to the nation. And here's what the nation says in the last verse. And because of all of this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. And so they end up at the end of chapter number 9, and this is basically what they say. We see how great our God is. We see how sinful we have been. We're coming to find forgiveness with our God. And God, because you're so great, we lay our lives down for your purpose and your glory and your use. And so, church, here's what I would like to say. Our God is great. He's great in our salvation. He's great in his faithfulness. He's great in his blessings. He's great in his love for us. And I would say corporately, on our 54th anniversary, God, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. We do it individually. Let us do it corporately. And God's people said. Amen. God's got great plans for our church. People still need to be saved. Work still needs to be done. I want him to know that at Plantation Baptist Church, he has our heart. Shall we pray?